Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting Program with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam. And we are talking about travel, we talk about different destinations, and on this lovely Sunday afternoon, I love this type of weather, cloudy a bit, cool, that's the weather I love. When it comes, when it's too hot, it's about like just too much. I feel very uncomfortable with the jackets. So if it's cold also, I feel very uncomfortable. And weather like this, I love. It's just so nice. But alhamdulillah, we've been having good weather, good rains, and so on. Only thing is we're having issues with these pipes, where the area that we are in, the water pipes, underground water pipes. Wow, you know, there was one this week. If the water that was shooting out from the ground, it was nothing less than about 20 meters high, and just shooting for 2 days like that. And it was just like, what's happening? When they closed that one, not even 5 minutes later, about 20 meters, 30 meters down, there was another fountain that shot out like that. That's the only thing. But other than that, alhamdulillah, lovely. We're having great weathers. We're having our sugar. We make so much of sugar. I was talking to somebody this week, and generally, we were just talking, and they said, with all those issues that we have, where would you go to settle down if you had a choice? I think I mentioned this before. But this particular one was this week again. And I said, South Africa. To move away from South Africa is going to be so difficult. And it so happens that I was talking to a foreign friend of mine as well, who's come here for a while, it's about 2 years now. And I asked him, I said, what made you come to South Africa to settle down? Why South Africa in particular? And you see all these issues that we have. Why South Africa? He says, with all what you have, all the issues that you have, South Africa is still the best. When it comes to infrastructure, when it comes to weather, people, environment, when it comes to fauna, flora, all those things is really, really beautiful. So alhamdulillah, we have a lovely country. We make shukr to Allah. We find that there's so many issues around the world. Wherever you go, there's so much problems. We look at India. We make special dua for India now. Allah make it easy for them. Allah protect the Muslims throughout the world. But with the issues of India, this is now real sad. This is sad. And to say that there's so many Muslims, over 200 million Muslims, and yet the Muslims are persecuted like that. That's now very difficult to fathom. What can we do? But we make dua, Allah make it easy. And Allah make it easy for the subcontinent of India, that the Muslims in India must be protected. Because if we look at our deen, we look at our Islam, alhamdulillah, we in South Africa, we've come, our great grandparents or great grandparents came from India. They came with the deen from India. And likewise, there's been the deen in India, alhamdulillah, exceptionally good. Exceptionally strong. I'm getting tongue-tied, I don't know why. But anyway, it's exceptionally strong. And we make dua that Allah protects the Muslims of India so it can be maintained. All that can be maintained for Islam, just for the sake of Islam. So we make special dua for the Muslims in India, inshallah. So that's how it is. And you know, I was rushing to come on program, and I was talking to somebody now on the phone. I was talking to somebody, and I'm saying, I'm rushing for the program. They say, I should put the phone down and go. And I was like, just fun to say that I'm not putting my foot on my ears that I have to put the phone down and drive. I've got that headset, and I'm putting my foot on the pedal and driving. So it's just one of those funny things that happened to me now, just before I came, and I'm smiling because of that. But anyway, because of rushing also, I've just been a bit out of breath because I had to rush. I had some work this morning, and it's the best weather to go do work on a Sunday morning, to go out and do some special thing that you're doing. But that's the way it is. But anyway, that is life. That is South Africa. And now with the weather changing, we're having good rains. Inshallah, we're coming towards our cooler temperatures now, which is very, alhamdulillah, it's fantastic. I love the cooler temperatures. We in South Africa, when we go around the world, we in South Africa, we find that our winters are not so bad and not so severe. We have very short winters. Our winters are, you're looking at, I would say, not even May. Come early June, July, and end of July, you got your winters finished. So very limited, probably 4, 5, 6 weeks, you have cold weathers outside. When I say cold, you're talking of maybe under 10 degrees, but not all the time, only during the mornings and evenings. But during the day, you have good elders. So we make shukr to the Almighty Allah for everything Allah has blessed us, Allah has given us. We make shukr to all our friends that we have, our colleagues that we have, all that. We have some people that we realize that they're living a lonely life. And you make dua for them, that Allah make it easy for them. Make it such that you don't live a lonely life, because it is very difficult to live a lonely life. That is why when we say travel abroad, you meet people, you associate with people, and you build friends. You unite people, you build friends, you have a network around the world. And if you're traveling with groups, when you're living together from South Africa, you come back as a family. And then you have family that you can go to, in inverted commas, I would say. So it's nice to have people around you all the time. But that's the way it is. I came across something very nice. In fact, this morning when we read it, I said it is so appropriate. Before I start with the program, we're talking about South America. For the last few weeks, we're talking South America and all the different countries in South America. We spoke of Brazil already. We spoke of Argentina, Chile. We spoke of Peru. Today in particular, we're going to talk of Ecuador. But before I start with that, I want to read something out to you, which is so appropriate. And I found it so nice. It's about a mother. Now you'll hear me from time to time talking about mother, because I see and I hear and I understand when it comes to people that have mothers and don't appreciate them. And I don't have a mother, I was very young and the mother passed away though. But when I read these things, it comforts me. So it goes like this. For those lucky to still be blessed with your mom, this is really, really beautiful. For those of us who aren't, this is even more beautiful. For those who are moms, you will really, really love this. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is this the long way, she asked? And the guide said, yes. And the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But at the end, will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way as she went, and bathed them in the clear streams, and the sun shone on them. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came, and the storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed. And when they reached the top, they said, mother, we would not have done it without you. And the mother, when she lay down at night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I've given them strength. And the next day came strange clouds across, which darkened the earth. Clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped in stumbles. And the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children Allah. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was a little bent. But the children were tall and strong at the time, and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, "You will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Your mother is always with you. She is the whisper of the leaves as you walk down the streets. She is the smell of bleach in your freshly laundered socks. She is the cool hand on your brow when you're not well. Your mother lives inside your laughter, and she is crystallized in every teardrop. She is the place you came from, your first home, and she is the map you follow with every step you take. She is your first love and your first heartbreak, and nothing on earth can separate you. Not time, not space, not even death. Now this is what a true mother is to all her children. Say what you may, but the mother's love is always there for her children. Alhamdulillah. That is so beautiful, so beautiful. Allah make it easy. Allah protect all the mothers out there. Allah look after all the mothers. Allah look after all the children that look after their mothers. And Allah instilled in the hearts of all the children for their mothers. I came across somebody not so long ago, and we were generally talking, and the auntie said, "My child," something about her child. But I know the child very well. And I said, "Your child, 48 years old, your child?" She says, "The child will be my child till the day he or she dies in old age. It's still my child. So I will still say my child," which is so true and so factual. So Allah make it easy. Allah protect all the mothers out there. Allah protect all the parents, all the children, and give them muhabbat, give them love in every home, inshallah. Now today we're talking Ecuador. Now, we're going to this tiny little country on the map of the world. It has always possessed the grandeur of a great country to those who know it very, very well. Sitting on the equator between Colombia and Peru, it is the smallest of the Andean nations, covering a very small land mass on the South American continent for all its diminutive size. However, the country is packed with startling contrasts of scenery, from steaming tropical rainforests and wind-swept highlands to ice-capped volcanoes and palm-fringed beaches, all within easy reach of the capital. Now, in this land of bold contours and bright colors, you can find yourself beneath a canopy of dripping vegetation amongst clouds of neon-colored butterflies one day, and in a highland market mixing with scarlet ponchoed indigenous the next day. And it's also a country of astounding biodiversity, boasting some 1,600 species of birds. It's more per square kilometer than any other South American country. And you have 4,500 butterflies and more than 3,500 orchards. A great number than any country on earth. And add to this a considerable historic and cultural legacy. You have stunning colonial architecture and a diverse array of indigenous groups. And it's easy to see why this particular country is often regarded as a microcosm of South America. Now, when we talk of Ecuador, the name says it, Ecuador, equator. Now, on the equator, we always talk about the equator. South of the equator, this time of the year, come September, October, November, December, right through till March, April, you have your summers south of the equator. The north of the equator, the same period, you have your winters. So your equator is your balance. So people always ask what happens on the equator. Equator, you have fixed temperatures, more or less, fixed temperatures, because it's on the equator. So there's no seasonal changes. And also your times. 6 o'clock is sunrise, 6 o'clock will be sunset. And that's forever. 6 o'clock sunrise, 6 o'clock sunset. That's on the equator. Now, the Republic of Ecuador is a country in northwestern South America. It's bordered by Colombia on the north, and Peru on the east and south, and the Pacific Ocean on the west. Now, Ecuador also includes the Galapagos Islands in the Pacific. It's about 1,000 kilometers west of the mainland. Now, the capital city, Quito, which is also the largest city. Now, the territories of modern-day Ecuador were once home to a variety of Amerindian groups that were gradually incorporated into the Inca Empire during the 15th century. Now, we had spoken about the Inca Empire also. Now, the territory was colonized by Spain during the 16th century. This is just a brief history I'm giving you about Ecuador itself before we talk of the climate and tourism and so on. Now, the territory was, like I say, colonized by Spain during the 16th century, and it achieved independence in about 1820, many, many years ago, as part of the Gran Colombia, from which it emerged as its own sovereign state in about 1830. Now, the legacy of both empires is reflected in Ecuador's ethnically diverse population, with most of its 17.2 million people being mestizos, followed by large minorities of Europeans, Amerindians, and African descendants. Now, Spanish is the official language and is spoken by a majority of the population, though there are 13 Amerindian languages that are also recognized, including Quechua and Shua. Now, the sovereign state of Ecuador is a middle-income representative democratic republic with a developing economy that is highly dependent on commodities, which is petrol and agricultural products. And it is governed as a democratic presidential republic, one of the 18 mega-diverse countries in the world. Now, Ecuador hosts many endemic plants and animals, such as those of the Galapagos Islands, in recognition of its unique ecological heritage. The new constitution of 2008 is the first in the world to recognize legally enforceable rights of nature, or the ecosystem rights, they call it. It also has the fifth lowest homicide rate in the Americas. Now, between 2006, I think it was 2006 and 2016, the poverty rate really, really, really dropped in that country. So we have a country that is now pushing forward to be a diverse country, to do things and to... many countries want to be, they don't want to be subservient to any other countries. So they try to do where when they start off with whatever they're doing, mostly agricultural, they would go and they would try and export to bring income into the country. Although you get many of these countries to where they do tourism, and they look at tourism, especially South America. Tourism is one of their biggest, their biggest income when it comes to tourism. What happens is the countries know best that when it comes to tourism, it's easy money for them. All they have to do is cater for the tourists. Now, especially in South America, you have the Andes, you have the falls, you have the oceans on the sides, you have all those advantages that they have. And when you have all those, items of importance where you can bring tourism into the country, any country will succeed. The most important thing is when they have security is what the people want first. Most important. Wherever you go, you'll find the most important thing is the security of the country. Go wherever you want. The first thing, maybe at times when I used to take calls on air, then the first thing when I said the ambassadors on and we used to talk to them, the first question that used to come on air was, what's the security like in your country? Is it safe for us to go to your country? Now, any country in the world that you would go to, you will definitely have some type of issues. You'll have minor issues. Violent crime, they try to cut away with. They try to protect tourists. Wherever you go, you will find that happening. So it's very, very important that we look at that part of tourism also. Now, the climate, there's a great variety in the climate, largely determined by altitude. It is mild all year round in the mountain valleys, with a humid subtropical climate in coastal areas and rainforests in lowlands. Now, the Pacific coastal area has a tropical climate with a severe rainy season. The climate in the Andean highlands is temperate and but relatively dry, and the Amazon basin on the eastern side of the mountains shares the climate of other rainforest zones. Now, you have, because of the location on the equator, Ecuador experiences little variation in daylight hours. You'll find, as I said earlier on, it's because it's on the equator, you don't have much change in time. If you're looking at the North Pole and South Pole, for example, you'll have weathers, temperatures, and you'll have your change in times, where you have sunrise and sunset, which sometimes you'll have, it depends where you are, you'll have for 3 months or 6 months, you'll probably have daylight, and the other, the balance of the year, you'll have night. So that's now being very far from the equator, but when you're on the equator, it's all balanced, it's all equal, and it stays like that. Now, you have tourism. The Ministry of Information and Tourism was created in August 1992 only, because they looked at tourism as being an income generator for the country. Now, at the beginning of the government of Sixto Duran Ballan, who viewed tourism as a fundamental activity for the economic and social development of the people of Ecuador. Now, they were faced with the close of the tourism sector in 1994, but the decision was taken to separate tourism from information, so that it is exclusively dedicated to promoting the and strengthening this activity. That's what they really wanted to do, is to make it tourism, tourist friendly. Now, any country will want to do that when they know the value of tourism. They don't, you know, at the sad part, we had spoken to so many people in South Africa. You talk to police also, they do something about our tourists. When you're coming from Mpumalanga, you're driving down, you find these kumbis coming down with tourists in them. And just when you sit and wonder that these poor, or these tourists, I would say, are coming here, visiting our country, and on their way back, they get robbed. They get hijacked. That's now where it's deterring. And tourism can be huge in South Africa because of what we have to offer. You look at Mpumalanga on its own. People come to South Africa, they can travel to Mpumalanga, they can spend days upon days, if not weeks, in Mpumalanga, and yet they wouldn't finish to see the beauty of South Africa. Only in Mpumalanga, I would say. There's much, much more. You're looking at Cape Town, you're looking at Durban, you're looking at the Free State, you're looking at so many other places. But let us look after it. Let us look after what we have. That's the message that we got to drive through and get the message out to the masses. Look after these people, because that is where your income comes. And it's easy money. Easy money. Jobs are created by the thousands. I had mentioned it before on air, that not just a person coming to South Africa will create, will bring in money into the country, and that's what it is. There's a whole chain reaction. You start off with that person buying an airline ticket, you're creating employment. Getting into the plane, you're creating employment. The staff that are in the plane, they're employed. The food that's been served in the plane, people are employed to send it to the plane, or to make it and send it to the plane. They are employed. When you're getting off the plane, to clean the plane, they are employed. When you come to the shoots in South Africa, for example, you come into the shoots, people are employed to arrange for the plane to be stopped, for people to come in. That's employment. All the staff, the ground staff at the airport, because so many people are coming into the country, they are employed. You have immigration officials, they are employed. You have those baggage, the baggage belts where the people man the baggage belts, they are employed. People pushing the trolleys around, they are employed. Then you have customs officials who are now harassing the Muslims that come through most of the time when they see Muslims coming through or Indians coming through with bags. They stop them, which you don't blame them. They told me why, but you don't blame them. And they are employed. The police that are around there, they are employed. The taxi guys outside, they are employed because more people are coming in. Like that, the hotels, people at the hotels are employed. The people that are making the soaps, they are employed to make the soaps and supply the soaps. All that we got to look at. it's not just that 15,000 rand that this person bought a package from that country and came here. It works out to much, much more than that. So let's look at all those things. Very, very important. But we'll talk on tourism of Ecuador after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Talking program. And I thank our brother Ismail in the engineer's box for playing the Nasheed. And what a beautiful choice. Jazakallah, Ismail, Jazakallah for that. It's such a beautiful Nasheed you've played. And it brings tears to the eyes also. That what I just read to you earlier on about the mother. It is so sad, but that's reality in life that we have people that do not appreciate their parents, unfortunately. That's the sad part of it all. But Allah make it easy. Allah protect everybody. And Allah bring muhabbat. And Jazakallah once again, Ismail, for playing that lovely, lovely Nasheed. I really, really appreciate that from you. Jazakallah. Now today we're talking Ecuador, as you just heard. Now we're talking South America for the last few weeks in particular. Now, with this coronavirus that we have at the moment, it's unfortunate that people are cancelling all their tours and trips wherever they're going. Although it is not affecting many of the countries, but people are just generally afraid. And as I said the other day, that if there is an outbreak of any disease in Kenya or in Tanzania, then if your family from London want to come to Johannesburg, and they will say, no, we don't want to come to Johannesburg because Tanzania has got the problem. But you know where Tanzania is, and you know that South Africa has got nothing to do with that particular disease, but they are afraid to come here because it's part of Africa. And that's what's happening at the moment. Although it's spreading, yes, it is, but not all the countries are affected. And those countries that are affected also, it's in quarantine, and it's pockets. It's not where the whole country is, where people are just coughing up and next best thing, they're all just getting affected and they're all getting sick. It's not like that. But anyway, that's the fear that people have. So we have I think Umrah is also jeopardized at the moment. And the worst is we don't know what's going to happen during Hajj. Inshallah, Allah will make things easy for everybody when it comes to Hajj. Many people are looking forward to going for Hajj. They've been chosen after 5, 6, 7, 8, some of them 8 years, and their names came up now. And they now wanting to go for Hajj, looking forward to going for Hajj. And the sad part is now with this, they are also now afraid and they're pulling back. That is a sad part. So we ask Allah, specifically Allah, please help our Hujjaj, help those people that want to go for Hajj, that have been chosen to go for Hajj. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them. If it's meant for them to go, you make it easy for them and let them go for Hajj, inshallah. So we make that special dua for all those Hajjis that have been chosen to go for Hajj. And it's so exciting, especially when I get calls from my families, I got nieces and nephews that are also chosen. And so exciting, they call me and tell me that they're chosen for Hajj. But you can hear the joy in their voices. And that makes me feel so happy, alhamdulillah. I just burst out into tears when I talk to them because of the joy of them wanting to go for Hajj and they got chosen to go for Hajj. That's a milestone in life. Shukr, alhamdulillah. Now, we spoke before the break, we spoke about Ecuador tourism. Now, many countries, as I said, look out to tourism as income generators for their countries. Now, Ecuador, no different. Now, it's a country with vast natural wealth. The diversity of its four regions has given rise to thousands of species of flora and fauna. And it has, like I said, many, many different types of birds, and it's got butterflies, it's got reptiles, it's got amphibians, mammals, but thousands and thousands and hundreds of different types also. Now, those things, people come from around the world. You take them to see, if you like, you bring them to South Africa and you tell them you're taking them to the Kruger Park, they would want to go to the Kruger Park to encounter with live wild animals. And that is beautiful. Those things. Now, in Ecuador, they have all these things. You know, I was recently, when we were in Bali, and we went to a butterfly park. There were so many interesting facts that we learned at the butterfly park about butterflies. I never knew, and I looked at the butterflies, and we went into one little netted cage, and they showed us butterflies which were born 3 hours prior to us being there. But those are fully grown butterflies. And I looked and I said, 3 hours ago? They said, yes. And the lifespan of that butterfly is not more than 3 weeks. those butterflies will die off in 3 weeks' time. So that's why their life, they are pupae, they come out, they like very, very in a cocoon pupae, they just grow out, and they like very fast, and within 3 weeks, they're old age and they die. I never knew that. We did science and biology and all that in school, but at that time, we really were interested in all these butterflies and all those things. But it was so interesting to note all these things. And Ecuador boasts 4,500 different butterflies. So you can imagine how beautiful. And when you look at those things, they are amazingly beautiful. Colors, the way they look, the kudrat of Allah, and they are so soft and they just sit on you. It's so beautiful. That's all the kudrat of Allah. Now, Ecuador is considered one of the 17 countries where the Earth's highest biodiversity is concentrated, being also the largest country with diversity per square kilometer in the world. Most of its flora and fauna lives in 26 protected areas by the state. And also, it has huge culture spectrum. And since 2007, the government and the tourism brand Ecuador Amalavida has been transformed, with which the nation's tourism promotion would be sold. Focus on considering it as a country friendly and respectful of nature. Now, the natural biodiversity and cultural diversity of the peoples, and for this means of exploiting them, are developed along with the private economy. So they are looking towards all these tourisms. Very, very important. Now, religion, when it comes to Ecuador, according to the Ecuadorian National Institute of Statistics, according to their census, 91% of the population have a religion. Then you have about 7% who are atheist, and then you have 0.1% they are agnostic. And among the people that have a religion, 90% are Christian, and the balance are of other faiths, including Judaism and Islam. Very small population of Muslims, but most festivals and annual parades are based on religious celebrations. Many are incorporating a mixture of rites and icons and so on. Now, there's a small number of Eastern Orthodox Christians. You have the Amerindian religions. You have Muslims, and then you have Buddhists, then you have the Baha'i. So there's many different religions also that are there. And then you have the first Jews that arrived in Ecuador in the 16th and 17th centuries. Most of them are those crypto-Jews, and many still speak Judo. Now, today, the Jewish community of Ecuador has its seat in Quito, which they have only about 200 people. Nevertheless, this number is really declining because the young people of Ecuador, the Jewish people of Ecuador today, they're leaving the country for the United States or for Israel because they're getting easily accepted in the United States and Israel. So they're moving away for greener pastures. Now, the community has a Jewish center. They have their synagogues. They have their country clubs. So in other words, there's freedom of religion. Then we have Islam also, which we have is a very small population of Islam. The statistics for Islam in Ecuador estimate a total number of Muslims of under 1,000 at the moment. That's what they're saying. That's according to statistics. I would say there are more than that, which is a representation of 0.02% of the total population. Now, the first Muslims that came into Ecuador were primarily Arabs who immigrated from Lebanon and the Palestinian territories, Syria and Egypt, following the two world wars and the destruction of the Ottoman Empire at the time. And their settlements were concentrated in Quito and in Guayaquil, with smaller communities in Manabí, Los Ríos, the Esmeralda provinces around there. Now, the Arab Christians, you have them, and the Arab Muslims, they created a non-religious ethnic organization called the LECLA. That's in about the 1940s, where they called it the Arab Club. That was in the 1980s. So be they Christian or be they Muslim, but they were Arabs, so they created the Arab Club. By the mid-1990s, there were more indigenous Ecuadorians began accepting Islam. Just by looking at these Muslims, and they started accepting Islam. And together with the Arab community, they rented an apartment which they used for namaz. And later, the Egyptian embassy in Ecuador provided a private apartment for Salah purposes. Now, the Centro Islamico del Ecuador, they were founded in 1994. And they are the first Muslim religious organization recognized by the government. Now, the religious activities as well as social, cultural, and educational activities are conducted according to Sunni Muslims. And the center receives no financial support from any other foreign country. And the Islamic Center also translates and publishes literature in Spanish on a variety of Islamic topics. And the Centro Islamico del Ecuador sends representatives annually to the Latin Muslim Leaders Gathering that usually takes place in Argentina for all those Muslim for all the countries in South America that puts Argentina, Uruguay, Chile, Paraguay, Bolivia, Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana, Suriname, French Guyana, all those countries come together and they have an organization and they come together for their gathering in Argentina. All the Latin American Muslim leaders get together for discussions. Now, this is the first Muslim religious organization credited as such as the Ecuadorian government. And the Centro Islamico del Ecuador is a non-profit organization which was founded by the grace of Allah in 1994, as I said. And all the activities, social, cultural, educational, are all conducted according to the Sunni Mazhab. And this center is organized into various committees to meet the needs of Muslims. And as I said, they don't receive any financial aid from abroad. Now, the native Ecuadorian Muslimas, the women, are a little bit over half of the entire Muslim population. Their understanding of Islam is reflected in their Islamic dress code. Now, almost all of them wear hijab. And they have that long dresses, which are Islamic long dresses on a daily basis. They dress with sharam and haya. And they constitute an example of a well-organized group with their own committee, which holds religious madrasa classes. Almost every day they have their own madrasa classes that they're doing. Now, the Islamic Center also translates and publish literature in Spanish on a variety of Islamic topics, including introducing Islam to non-Muslims, comparative religious studies, and about Sunni Islam, because there's infiltration of all these different sects. So you have introduction of Sunni Islam, our mainstream Islam, and there's already 5 books that's translated into Spanish. The first one, which is What the Bible Says About Muhammad. That book, listen to this now, that book was translated into Spanish. That book was taken from South Africa. It was written by the late Ahmed Didat and translated into Spanish. What the Bible Says About Muhammad. They are using that book. The second one is Understanding Muslims and Islam. The third one is Tawheed, which is by Ibrahim Hussein. The fourth one, which is Muslim-Christian Dialogue. That is by Dr. Bargil. And the fifth one is The Truth About Jesus. It's also written by international people, but translated into Spanish. Now, the center has recently published and printed 15 different topics in pamphlet forms. Those are books. These are pamphlets. The Spanish pamphlets are Islam at a Glance, Mount Arafat Sermon, Do You Know That the Pope at the Time of Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Embraced Islam, General Aspects About Fasting in Ramadan, Misconceptions About Jihad, Danger in Dancing, Is Jesus Really God? Why should you should know about the great man Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who invented the Trinity? What is Islam? Islamic fundamentalism? What Islam is not about? Muhammad in the Bible also? Fire in your stomachs about alcohol? According to the Bible, Jews have no right of Palestinian land. Those are the 15 pamphlets that are out in Spanish currently in that center and being distributed also. Then you have the center which also holds Jummah Salat. They have their masjid for daily Salat, including Jummah. The marriages are all conducted in that center. They have Tarawih prayers there. They have Eid Salat. Salatul Janazas are being done there. And then the Islamic Center of Ecuador sends its religious representatives annually to the Muslim Leaders League, as I said, in Argentina. But after September 2001, the increase of presentations and contacts has increased a great deal. Dawah work is performed through presentations at auditoriums, universities, schools, radios, newspapers, magazines, TVs. They are now having Dawah work presented because there are more people wanting to know about Islam after 9/11. There's no reason for not working openly in Dawah, because the constitution stands for freedom of thought as well as freedom of religion. So they are allowed to do Dawah work there. Now, they have done many, many different Islamic propagations. They have those people there in particular. You have the Muslims, local Muslims, that are really going out and bringing the awareness of Islam to all those people that are unaware of what Islam is all about. And then you have the language, which is Spanish. They have other minor languages also, but Spanish being the main language, most Ecuadorians speak Spanish as their first language, with its ubiquity permeating and dominating most of the country. Though there are many, many who speak an Amerindian language, which is a local language, such as Quechua, and which is one of the Quechuan languages, and is spoken by approximately 2.5 million people in Ecuador, Bolivia, Colombia, and Peru. Now, the use of the local Amerindian language are, however, gradually diminishing due to Spanish widespread use in education. Though most features of Ecuadorian Spanish are universal to the Spanish-speaking world, there are several idiosyncrasies in Ecuador. Now, they're having all these. The language is the biggest thing, because you have so many different languages. They have the different dialects. Now you get many countries in the world, they have their dialects of the local villages. Although they may have Spanish as the main language, but they have the local dialects. And those dialects are now obviously spoken by the local people in the villages. And you find, it happens right here in Mozambique also. You find many a times, I'm surprised when I find the Mozambicans, I expect all of them to be speaking Portuguese. Some of them, when you talk to them, they can only speak Shangaan. They cannot speak Portuguese. They do not, they understand very little Portuguese. Although they are born in Mozambique, but up in the rural areas, you will find that they just speak their local mother tongue, their village language. Like that, you find, especially when you're in, like now in Ecuador, many, many languages, the main one being Spanish, but then you have them speaking the local languages, the local dialects. But obviously, as they come, they become more urbanized, then it changes and they start picking up on the local, on the national language, and they start speaking the national language thereafter. So that is what that's what it's all about. Now, Ecuador is, as I said, a country on the western side of South America. So it's a country that you can visit. So South America is a continent for us to visit. We haven't heard of Corona visiting South America, so let's look into visiting South America then. It may just make a big difference for us. Find something different and start a new trend of going for a holiday abroad. My Instagram handle is globetrotting25. If you want to message me for anything, globetrotting25. My SMS line, specifically I'm saying SMS line, you can WhatsApp me or SMS me on 072-786-5520. 072-786-5520. You can WhatsApp me or you can SMS me on that number at any time, and I will respond to you if there's anything you'd like to know. So don't be afraid. I'm getting many people asking me about the coronavirus. It's not in our control. Allah knows best. We make dua, Allah protect us all. But I do not have control. People are asking me, can I go for a holiday with all this corona out there? I can't tell, brother and sister. I cannot tell you if you can go for a holiday or not. Because if you're going to go and if anything happens, you're going to say, I told you to go for a holiday and you got corona. No, please. Please no. I'm not responsible for that. But if you want to go for a holiday, please feel free. I would go for a holiday. If I had the opportunity now, I would go for a holiday. Because that doesn't deter me. Corona doesn't deter me. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.